I'm glad that he still loved me, even though he knew me. You know, I got thinking about today after preaching about reading over there in John, walking in light. I got thinking about God is light. I want to show you some things, and I hope that it'll be a help to you. Give you something to think about maybe and ponder upon. We're going to go several places, so keep your Bibles handy. You know, you can be turning, if you would, in the book of Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to start there. There was a country music singer one time. Most of you are familiar with him, I'm sure, or heard of his name. Hank Williams, that wrote a song, I Saw the Light. I saw the light, no more in darkness, no more in night. Now, I can't vouch that he ever saw the light. Now, I don't know that he truly saw the light and it made a difference of salvation in him. I won't speak for him. But I will say this. When we do see the light and we receive the light, then it does make a difference. And I thank God for bringing light when we had nothing but darkness. In Isaiah chapter 9, if you look back, God told Isaiah that he was going to give a sign in chapter 7 in verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Well, we know in Matthew that Emmanuel means God being with us or God with us. Now turn if you would to Isaiah chapter 9. Verse number 1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. It's talking about some grief and some issues that Israel went through. In verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And I want you to note that. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee accordingly in the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Next two verses, note those. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. I want to look at some thoughts about God and his light. I'm sorry. Change my mic. Look, if you would, in the book of Psalms, chapter 36. Psalms, chapter 36. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9. It says, for with thee is a fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. In other words, God is going to bring light to us. And the Bible says that the people of darkness saw great light in Isaiah chapter number 9. And we know that light was the Son of God. And so therefore, we need to remember that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Amen. Remember when Moses met in Exodus chapter 33 with God, and God put his hand over his face to veil him. And then even afterwards, they had to put a veil over Moses' face because the light shone. Amen. From from experiencing a God and the light of God. Now, look if you would, and we're going to turn several places, but turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to go back and forth, so just bear with me tonight. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice if you would in verse number, chapter 1, in verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse number, chapter 6, and verse number 16. Says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, turn, if you would, to Revelation, the last two chapters, chapter 21 of Revelation. When we get to heaven, we are going to dwell in God's light, his light. In chapter 21, verse 23, the Bible says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Amen. Notice you would in chapter 22 and verse number 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So God's going to bring his light into the new city. No need for sun, no need for moon. Now turn, if you would, back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. There's a lot of things about the status of the earth and the world that we don't understand, that we do know that Satan was cast out of heaven. For his sin, he was Lucifer, and we know he was cast out. Now, I've read a lot of theories about where he dwelt and what he did and what the earth was and so forth, but we do know that in the beginning, verse number 1, that God created the heaven and the earth. Now, God chose, when he created the heaven and the earth, as he went through the creation, it was progressive. It wasn't, he could have just said, I want it all, this moment, and everything, the trees, the birds, the sun, the moon, the water, everything would have appeared at one time. Amen. But God chose to progressively do his creation. Now notice, he would, in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now notice here that at this time that it was nothing but darkness upon the face of the earth, or upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen. So now God didn't create light out of darkness. He brought his light to darkness. Now, darkness and light cannot coexist. When darkness appears, or when light appears, darkness disappears. And to have darkness, all you have to do is get rid of light. And so, therefore, there's the darkness and the light is very distinctive between one another. And it's also divisive between one another. And you either have darkness or you have light. You can't have them both, because when one is present, when light is present, darkness cannot be present. Now notice here, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and morning were the first day. You get that? And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters and which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Now from the way I envisioned the firmament, it was this.
It was like a greenhouse effect where it had waters in the heaven above the earth, and it surrounded the earth, and it made the earth more like a tropical plant environment. And I can clearly understand how the ice age would have hit in that case, because we learn in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11, when the flood came, in this firmament that surrounded the earth. Now, picture this in your mind. This firmament surrounds the earth, and the earth sits inside of it. The sun would shine after the sun was created. It would shine upon the firmament, and it would create that a greenhouse effect. And therefore, you can imagine all the greenery and all the things in the trees, and even human life would exist much longer paces because they didn't have direct exposure to the sun. And so therefore, you can see why people would live to be 900 and 800 and 700 years old, living in an environment like that. And so God separated waters from water. Now notice, if you would, on the third day, then the seas and land and vegetation was brought about. Then the fourth day, in verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament, or of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let there be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day, over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now I want you to get this. When God brought light to darkness upon the earth in his creation at first, it was not the sun that he brought. He brought his light. And his light divided the darkness. There was light. The fourth day, he created the sun and the moon to help have seasons and so forth, and to be able to have the sun during the day, the moon during the night, and then stars. And so, therefore, what we find is that God progressively brought about his creation. Now, so we learn, when we look at this, that God also brought about his son progressively. He came and he was born a baby in a manger. He wasn't born a grown man and going to Calvary the moment he was born. He was born a baby. And then we look at his life and we see till he come to a point at the end of his ministry here upon the earth, and he went to the cross of Calvary and made the sacrifice for each and every one in the whole world to be the redeemer of the world. Well, also we find in why it's important to have your children around the teaching of the Bible, why it's important to have your children in Sunday school and things like that, the knowledge and revelation of Jesus comes progressively. First, they learn about the name of Jesus, not understanding who he is. Then they begin to understand a little bit more, and they learn a little bit about his works. They learn a little bit about his love. And then there comes a time when God, God the Holy Spirit, awakens them to the fact that they are sinners and lifts up Jesus before their eyes as their only hope. And so, therefore, some of you have brought your small children to me and say they begin to ask questions. Well, it's a progressive thing to see children gain revelation of the light, just as God did. Now, he tells us about different light that he's brought about. Notice, if you would, the light of creation. We talked about that a little bit this morning. But look, if you would, in the book of Psalms, chapter number 19. Psalms 19. As I said, we're going to turn a few places, so stay with me. In Psalms 19, I hope to be able to pull it all together when I get through. Look, if you would, in verse number 1, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. And he going forth is from the end of heaven, and is circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So therefore, what we find is that through creation, God's light is revealed, and he reveals light through this creation. Now, if you look back in Psalms, and notice you would in chapter 14, verse number 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. In other words, anyone that looks and cannot see God in creation is a fool. Now look, if you would, we read this morning, but in Romans chapter 1. I want to go back and read that a moment because I want to bring something out here in a moment. Romans chapter 1. Notice you want in Romans chapter 1. Your Bible get plenty of use tonight. Notice you would in verse number 18. We'll begin reading there. We read it this morning. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. And so therefore, what they've done is they refuse to look to God. They refuse to recognize God. And God has made a way to reveal that through his creation. Not only that, but also through the incarnation. Look, if you would, in Galatians chapter number 4. In Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, notice you would in verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Turn back, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 1. In Matthew chapter number 1, notice, if you would, in verse number 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now notice, if you would, back on over in the book of John, in John chapter number 1. And you keep your finger there. We're going to come back to that here in just a few moments. John chapter number 1, I just want to bring one verse out right now. But the Bible says in verse number 14, the Word was made flesh, talking about Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, John in 1 John chapter number 1, verse 1 through 2, tells us that he was a witness of that light. He was a witness of Jesus. He seen him. He heard him. He walked with him. He knew. There was never a man made like Jesus. And so therefore, we have the light not only of creation, but we have the light of the incarnation of the Son of God. Everyone who met Jesus knew that there was something about Jesus that was different than any other man. There was no other man like him. No one spake like he spake. No one could do the things that he could do. And on and on and on, we could look at the things that was where God gave light to his son. And again, it was progressive light as they begin to learn. Then we find in Romans, if you turn there and keep your finger there in John, we're coming back. But look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 10. In Romans chapter number 10, we have a light of revelation through the Word of God. In Romans 10, notice if you would in verse number 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and thy heart. That is a word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look in verse number 11. He says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Skip on down if you would in verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So therefore, we have a revelation through the word of God. Now, notice if you would while you're in Romans, and notice if you would in chapter 1. I think we might have even read this verse this morning. But notice in verse 16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Notice if you would in Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. God has given us revelation, has given us the light of the prophecy, Peter says, through the word of God, the sure word of prophecy. Now notice he would in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 4. Since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which was laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. So therefore, God reveals his son through his word. Not only has it been revealed through creation, not only has that light been revealed through the incarnation, the birth and the life of his son, but also through the revelation of the word of God. And we could go through many places like that. Now, turn back, if you would, to the book of John. I ask you to hold your finger there a moment. And notice, if you would, in the book of John. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, so therefore, what we have is we have three things that are simultaneously used to represent Jesus. His name, Jesus Christ himself, the word, and the light. You can't separate. All three of those are one. That's one and the same. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the light. If you don't have the light, you don't have Jesus. If you don't have the word, you don't have Jesus. And you can have all the word and light you want, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have Jesus. Amen? The Son of God. So therefore, we need to understand that through this, we find that we have Jesus identified, and if we want to be brought out of the darkness, he is the only source we have. Now look back in your Bible in 1 John just a moment and begin reading with me again in verse number 5 where we left off. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the what? Light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So what we have is we have that Jesus has revealed himself, and the world is being illuminated by the light of Jesus through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, people will be responsible and will be judged according to the truths and according to the things that they have available to them. To whom much is given, much shall be required. And so, therefore, it would be a greater punishment to those. Now, let me say this, and I've said it many times, but it's important to say. I would not want to live in America and die without Christ. I think hell's going to be a lot more torments for you, and it's going to be a whole lot more tolerable than it is for some uncivilized person who doesn't have reading skills and doesn't have Bibles on every corner and doesn't have churches on every corner. It's going to be a whole lot more tolerable for them than it is going to be for you. But now notice here that Jesus came to bring that light. Notice if you would in 2 Timothy, real quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice if you would in verse number 10. But is now made manifest or made known by the appearing of Jesus Christ, or our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. People said, why do we preach the gospel? We preach the gospel because the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not to preach anything else. He is a light. If you're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not preaching the light. People cannot be brought out of the darkness by any other gospel that you preach. That's why the Bible says that even an angel come preaching into the gospel. Let him be cursed. Because there is no other message. There is no other name. There is no other way. There is no other religion. Somebody said, well, preacher, I believe if we can all be sincere. Listen, people who is believing in Buddha is going to die and go to hell. People who's believing in Islam is going to die and go to hell. Amen. And we could go on and on and on and name all kinds of religions, because what they're doing is they are neglecting the only source of light that's available to man. And God has made it through his creation all the way down through the revelation through the Word of God and an illumination of the Holy Ghost of God that reveals Jesus to us. Now, I can't tell you how he does it in all situations. But I'll tell you this, that's God's part, not our part, amen? But the Bible says that it's appeared unto all. Now, notice if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, I want to say this. I've had people ask me, say, preacher, why are some of these false prophets got all these coliseums packed wall to wall? I'll tell you why. Because the devil is not against religion as long as it's not true religion. There's only one thing that the devil fights against, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing he don't want us to do. And my friend, you can tell people, well, come to church, but church is not going to save them. You can tell them to turn over a new leaf. You can tell them pray. You can tell them to do all kinds of things. But until they have salvation and have Christ Jesus, they have not light.
Amen.
Notice if you would in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. In whom the God of this world, who is the God of this world? That's the devil. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, let me say something and listen to me. When you reject Christ, and when the word's being preached, and the Spirit of God comes out and draws you to come, and you reject to come, you're walking in dangerous territory.
Amen.
Because Satan, what he wants to do is he wants to keep you blinded. He wants to try to rob you from seeing the true light and coming to the light. And so what he tries to do is he tries to hide the gospel. He tries to make it every way in the world that someone would not come and get under the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He only has one enemy, and that's those who are preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything else is acceptable because he knows that God's not going to get glory out of anything else other than through his son. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, very familiar verse, I know, but I want to read a couple of verses before I close. Notice, if you would, in verse number 14, going back to Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. As Moses lifted up his serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, as Moses lifted that serpent, that brass serpent up, put it on a pole in the middle of camp, and whoever had been bit by the serpent, if they looked upon it and had faith in what God said, they would be saved. And Jesus said, same principles got to apply here. I'm going to be lifted up, and all men's got to look to me. And if you want to be saved, you got to look to Jesus. You got to have faith. Somebody said, well, preacher, I just don't understand how I can be saved without doing some things. God didn't tell Israel to do anything. He said, just have faith in what I told you. Stick that serpent up. That brass means I'm going to judge your sins with this serpent. And anybody who's been bit, if they want to live, have them look and believe what I just told you. And the moment that they looked and believed, they lived. And the moment that he lifts up Jesus to you on the cross of Calvary, and you see the Son of God dying for your sins, and you believe upon him, you're saved. You don't have to go through a bunch of works. It's not of works. It's a gift of God. Now, notice if you would, as a matter of fact, he repeats that in verse number 15, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what?
Saved.
The world was full of darkness. And so he sent the light. And the light would dispel the darkness. Amen? And make the darkness disappear. But notice verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Listen, you won't know what you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. You're already condemned. You're condemned because of the darkness. If you want to be saved, you got to believe in the light. Let's read on. It says, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because they're what? There's some people don't want to change. There's some people that don't want what you got for them. You know, there's been people that I went to and I've talked to and witnessed to and I've took, not interested, preacher. Don't want nothing to do with it. You say, what makes a man like that? He loves his evil deeds. He don't want to give it up. But that doesn't mean the light was not presented to him. It means that he rejected the light. Look on, if you would, in verse number 19. And this is condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be what? But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now let me say this. I've had people ask me this. We looked a little bit this morning at homosexuality. Men with men, women with women. There comes a time when God gives them up, gives them over, gives them reprobate mind. But before that time, what if one was to come and repent of their sins? And they did trust in Christ. Could they be saved? I think absolutely yes. But the question is this, and this is where people don't get it. Their deeds will be reproved. If they want to stay in that relationship, they can't be saved. Because what they want to do is live in darkness and have the light. You can't have the light coming to him. All of us, when we came to him, we had to come as sinners. We had to confess our life as sinners. And God, I don't believe anybody, listen, I don't believe anybody starts out in that relationship of being a man with a man and woman with a woman without knowing the shame and knowing it's not right and knowing it's not within nature to do so.
Amen.
It's against nature. I believe even their own conscience. You know, used to, people hid in the closet about it.
Yeah.
Didn't want people to know. You say, what's this grand coming out that we've had? Reprobate minds. They see no shame in it anymore. But I'm going to tell you this. I believe that you've got to reprove those deeds. You got to abandon them to come to Christ. And this idea of allowing them to stand before pulpits and say, and be part of church membership and things, that's not scripture.
Amen.
That's not the way you come to God. Light would dispel that darkness. They'll forsake that thing. Amen? I believe a man wants to get right with God. I believe God will reveal those things to him. Now, let me show you this real quick. A couple more verses. I'm going to close. Turn me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Turn quickly. And by the way, I don't say things to offend people. But this idea of just saying, listen, it's okay. We're not going to mention it. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to turn our eye against it. We're going to try to put our stamp of approval on it. It doesn't make it right. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. When you get saved, that light comes in and he begins to show you a light and how to go. Psalms chapter 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We have a light. Look, if you would, in Psalms chapter 4. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up that the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time of the corn and the wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. When you find the light, you can finally find peace. There's a whole lot of people searching for peace in all the wrong things. You want to find peace, you find the light. That's why I wonder when he wrote that song, if he ever found the light, because he never seemed to find the peace. Now, I'm glad that when you find the peace, you can lay down at night and dwell safely. Look, if you would, to 2 Peter real quickly. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. We'll go to here one more place, and I'll close him. 2 Peter chapter number 1. In verse number 19. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Look, if you 2 Corinthians chapter 4, going back to where we was at just a few minutes ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, real quickly. Notice if you would, let's read again verse number 4. We read it earlier. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm glad, folks, that I saw the light. I'm glad that people that live in darkness can see a great light. And that great light can change your life. God has revealed his light from the creation of the earth. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. Then 4 days later, he said, let's go ahead and make a sun and moon and divide the sun, divide the day, divide the night. But his light has shone. And he has given his light that we may be able to see. And he has tried to reveal his light from creation, from incarnation, in revelation of the Word of God, and in illumination by the Holy Ghost. And he's taking it to the whole world and bidding them to come. And it's up to you to respond to that light. And if you love darkness more than light, you'll reject that light. But if you come to that light, then you'll find safety and peace. You'll find guidance for your life. Amen. You'll find purpose if you come to that light. Amen. Let's stand tonight.
Page 94.
Are you here tonight? You say, Brother Billy, I've never been saved. Well, I tell you what, I'd hate to sit and listen to message after message after message. You know, we were talking about some that has rejected the light. That young man came on my porch today. He came to school for a little bit. And I don't think he ever finished a year, did he? Is Doris gone? I don't think he finished a year. But he had a lot of things in his life. And I looked at him today as he stood on my porch. And my heart just went out to him. Just tattooed everywhere. Studs sticking in his face. And I looked into his eyes and he was telling me that his son had died. And I thought, how sad. He said, well, if you were going to be here, he said, I was going to have you do a eulogy. That's all he knew about it. But time after time, for that year he was here, he sat right here in these pews. He heard the gospel message preached probably many, many times. And I think of other people out there, some has died. Had a young man came here, graduated from here, jumped off the bridge right there to his death. Seen others that's just turned to all kinds of things. That has sat here and listened to hundreds, if not thousands, of messages. He came to my porch. He said, I remember you preaching. And he said, I was just trying to find someone to preach my son's funeral. And my heart just went out for him. And I thought, how sad. Some of you may sit in the pew time and time and time again. You keep rejecting the light and you don't know what the devil will do with your life. But he wants to destroy you. He wants to steal and destroy and rob you of everything. And he wants to prevent you from coming to that glorious light. He wants to keep that gospel hid.
I told a guy the other day, preached, and I preached Thursday a funeral. Had a guy sitting there with a dress on, and I guess it was his friend right beside him with a big old man bun on. And I preached, I told the guy when he asked me to preach, I said, I'm going to preach Jesus. I'm going to preach heaven and hell, and I'm not going to make any apology about that. And I could tell they got really angry at me. And you can tell. One time I was asked to preach a funeral right over here, a place where a lot of lesbians live. I didn't know who it was, and I went to preach it, and there was about 36 of them there. I preached the truth. Many of them got mad. But they didn't get mad at me. They just hate the light. Because the light reveals their evil deeds. And if they're going to get saved, they're going to have to come away from those things. And so, friend, listen to me very carefully. Just because you are brought to church doesn't secure your soul in heaven. Just because you attend a Christian school does not secure your soul in heaven. Only thing to secure your soul in heaven is the light. And you've got to come and get the light. And if you're here tonight and God's dealing with you, you ought to come. Would you come? As we sing, Brother Porter.